right, thank you all very much for that. And now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. And today, as I said, it's Psalm chapter 20. God's Word says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May He remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May He answer us when we call." And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. As I said, this and the companion in Psalm 21 was a prayer for the leadership of the country, for the king as he was going out into battle, more than likely. And so your thought for today is, we pray to stand against evil on the promise God will enable our fight to defend His name. We pray to stand against evil on the promise God will enable our fight to defend His name. And that's really what the people were doing here. Enable the fight of the King, God, that you have given to us. May He fight bravely. May His thoughts be pure. May His leadership be based and founded upon your word. That is what is being implied here. So all of us want our prayers to be answered positively. When we pray to God, we want a positive answer to those prayers. Now, hoping for those answers implies those requests. And so we are to pray for help each day. Now, when we have the Lord's Prayer that we have a custom of going over each Sunday that we worship, and we have that part in there, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is what you're doing there. That is the pattern of prayer that Jesus wants His people to have. And that pattern means that each day you are to pray for the strength that you need for the troubles, the concerns, the sin, the evil that you will encounter during that day. Now, "lead us not into temptation" means don't take me somewhere that is too strong for me. Each of us has things that we are weak towards. Each of us has that sin, whatever it is, and like I've said many times, if we were to go around the room and if we could speak openly and honestly, and I'm not going to ask you to do it, each of us would have something that we have trouble resisting, whatever it is. We're wired that way. That is our thorn in the flesh, if you will, as Paul calls it. And so in that thought, we are to pray for God, "Please don't take me somewhere where that the temptation will be too strong. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from that call of evil. Don't let it overtake me. Take me away from it. Take me out of it. Keep me from it." And so prayer then becomes that lifeline, not only for kings as they go into battle, but also for Christians as we go into that battle for that day. I can't stress enough for us to be sure that we see the world that we go out into each day, whether you go to school, whether you go to work, whether you're retired, the world that we encounter each day is a battleground of the soul. Don't ever let anyone tell you anything differently. It is a battleground for the soul. Yes, I did use that word, battleground for the soul, because each day we are encountering evil. Each day we are battling to confront that evil and to overcome that evil. Now, we confront it because we are to stand for God. We are to represent Him wherever our paths may take us. And so we stand against evil. And in standing against evil, we bring God's judgment to it because we're saying, "This is not what God would have me to do. And so I am forsaking it. I am leaving it. I am standing against it. It is wrong." When we overcome it, We fight for those, we fight to overcome those temptations, those things inside of us that we succumb to. That evil that, as I said, each of us are wired a little differently. Some things are easier for us to say no to than others are. That's why I also want to encourage you not to be judgmental upon people. Just because you don't have trouble resisting a certain temptation doesn't mean that others won't have significant problems resisting that temptation. And so a lot of us sometimes, we want to say, I'm not like that guy, not like that person over there, because I'm not a so-and-so and so-and-so. And so we compare ourselves against other individuals instead of comparing ourselves to Christ. When we compare ourselves to Christ, we all fall short, because Christ is the standard. In our prayer life, in our daily walk, we are to compare ourselves with the Master, with Christ, our Lord. Not saying that I'm better than this person or that person, but we are to compare ourselves to Christ. So we need power, the power of Christ within us to help us overcome and stand against the evil that is pitted against us. And in that realm, Christ now sits with the Father interceding for us. That's in Romans chapter 8. What is that intercession? Folks, I haven't been to heaven. I hope to be there one day. I'm going there one day. But I don't know what that looks like. It's not in Scripture that this is what Jesus does every day. All I know that He intercedes. What I believe it to be in the Gospel according to Marty is that Christ's presence there with the Father. Christ takes our place. He stands for us. Like I shared with the young people today, His righteousness stands for us in the presence of the Father. His righteousness is a testimony of, Father, I have come for my people. I have made them a part of my church. And now I ask that you see my righteousness whenever you look at Marty. That you see my blood whenever you look at Marty. And you see that he's been cleansed. You see that he stands in my righteousness. And so that is the intercession there. And when God has claimed you for His own, then He has a stake and interest in your security. Way back in the day, when individual countries had their own individual gods, it was a big part of their national pride that their God was powerful and secure. And so their God was lifted high whenever they won a battle. Whenever they conquered another nation, they would say, my God is stronger than your God. Kind of like in grammar school, remember, my daddy or my mom is stronger than your daddy, or he can beat you up or something. You know, we said all those kind of things. Well, the God has honor in his invested in His name. He doesn't take His name lightly, because His name represents His character. His name is who He is. His name is and His word is how we know Him. And so He takes that very seriously. And whenever the name of God is implanted upon you as His child, He has ownership, He has possession, He has a stake in how you live your life. Because the way that we live our life shows the world this is who God is. Whenever we call ourselves Christians and we encounter the world, we're telling the world this is how God wants us to live. Because when Christ came, God is saying, you look at my Son, that is how I want you to live. And so we try to live up to that. We need strength, we need power, we need all of the intercession of Christ in order to try to live up to that standard, because we all fall short. Chris Bruno writes that our union with Christ, that union means that we've been saved, we're now joined together with Him. And so being saved and joined together with Him means that He, Christ, always stands in our place before the Father. This truth, when we recall it more, will fill us with tremendous confidence and hope. We will recall this truth in a very short amount of time when we encounter this Holy Communion here. We recall the truth of His life lived in the bread and His blood shed for us in the cup that we raise. we encounter that truth and we remember what Christ has done for us. So in that remembrance then, let it fill us with that confidence and hope that we are now possessed by God and He is going to defend us zealously. What does that mean? That He will send all the help that we need to encounter, to stand against the evil, and to overcome the evil that we have each day in our lives. What we need, and he asked us to pray that He supply that. Prayer is probably one of the things that is the easiest for us to forsake. We just get up, we get busy, we take off, we encounter evil, we get that temptation, you know, that temptation, the one that's so hard for us to overcome. And the last thing on our mind is to pray for God for a way to escape it, which we're promised in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. There's no temptation that is not common to man. In other words, you are not encountering anything that millions of other people have not encountered over the course of human history. Well, they just don't know this person that I'm living with. They just don't know this person that I'm talking to or working with or any of these kind of things. No, they don't. But what is the base of your problem? Is it fear? Despair? Is it anger? Is it intimidation? You don't think millions of people haven't experienced those same things? That God calls us to faith in Him. And He says, none of that is new. And He says, but when you are in these circumstances, when you are tempted to express these kinds of emotions, that He is faithful and that He will provide a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. But he wants us to pray for it. He wants us to ask Him for the strength. He wants us to ask Him for the way of escape so that we can stand up under that. Prayer is important. We need to pray. Our prayers are answered when our hearts are in line with the Father. They ask that the king's heart's desire be granted. Now, this is not saying whatever that king wants, God, we ask You to give it to him. Why? Because they say, may he, God, remember all your offerings the king has given. Regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. In other words, because, king, you are in relationship with God, may your heart's desire be granted. That's the key here. Not that anything we could ever think of be granted, because kings' hearts are just as deceptive as our hearts. Asking in God's will comes from walking in His will. That's what it's talking about there. May His sacrifices be looked on favorably. Because He has a good relationship with you, because He is walking in your will, the more we walk in God's will, the closer we walk with Him, the more our prayers will reflect God's desire. And the more those prayers will be answered positively. God wants us to pray for strength today to overcome and to stand against evil. God will not have a problem answering those prayers positively when they come from a heart that is committed. God wants us to pray for salvation of others in the world. He will not have a problem answering those prayers positively. God wants us to pray for a way to stand up under this temptation and not allow me to succumb to it and let it turn into sin. God will answer those prayers positively because that's what He wants for you. God will seek to help the life of another as He sees best because you have prayed for that individual. All of those kinds of things go along with the will of God. And the closer we get to Him, the more we will discover His will. The closer we get to Him, the more our prayers then will become more in the pattern of Christ and His life. We live out that gospel by displaying the truth. Christ came to save the lost of which I once was. And it's only by His grace that I am saved through His mercy. And it is only when I walk in humility, knowing that in Christ alone I live. And so we walk in that humbleness, getting closer and closer to Christ so that our prayers then could mimic what He wants for His people. And as I said, our key to victory is to stand on the name of God. David went out to fight against Israel's enemies, and he was defending the name of God. Why? Because God had claimed Israel as his own possession. And so whenever Israel went out to fight, Israel went out, as long as they were in God's will of going out. They did go out sometimes in error and paid the penalty for it. But when they went out, they were representing God. When he sent them out on a mission, they were representing God. Why? Because they belong to him. And so when we go out each day, we are representing God. Why? Because we belong to him. And he will stand for his name. Sometimes the Ark of the Covenant went with them. And that Ark of the Covenant was a physical sign of God's presence with the people of Israel as they went into battle. And today he fights by our side by the Spirit that is within us. And so as the Spirit encourages that character of God to be reflected in the hearts and minds of his people, we go out and we fight for God, and he is very zealous of his name because we represent him. And so he is going to fight hard for his name. We have that kind of assurance from him that because we belong to him, he will help us in our battle. He will help us in our fight. David was called a man after God's own heart. And he saw himself as God saw him, a man in need of grace. You can tell by David's prayer, Psalm 51, after he had sinned with Bathsheba. You can see the heart-wrenching pain he was going through because he said, "Against you and you alone, God, have I sinned." He knew what he had done, and he felt the pain and agony and the separation that that moment had caused. And he wanted that closeness again. And that's what we yearn. That's what this meal encourages, that close walk. So that our prayers then can go up to gather together the strength and encouragement, the power that we need each day to stand against sin and to overcome sin. And that is the desire of the Christian, to stand together with God. As the people of Israel lifted up the king as he went out into the battle, they knew he was not standing on his own strength, and so they prayed for him. And so today we do not stand on our own strength, but on the name of God. Because the name of God represents his character. And he holds his character precious. He will not allow shame to come to his character. He will not lose one of us. Because if you remember when I said, when nations would fight against other nations, my God was stronger than your God. The promise in Scripture that Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I will not lose them. Why? How can he say that? Because he is zealous of his name. And to lose one of his sheep means that the power of evil was stronger than the power of God. And that is not going to happen. The power of evil is never stronger than the power of God. And God will defend his name. And that is the encouragement that we have as children of God, that he will defend his name. And that is the power that we pray for each day, that we can stand against evil, that we can overcome evil. And that's what this table represents, that power, that life that was given, that righteousness that is ours through Christ Jesus, that can be applied and put to use each day in our battleground of life, where we battle against the evil, and evil, both within and without. And that is the promise that God gives to each of us, to help each one of us pray for that strength, pray for that power, pray for that truth. God will enable our fight to defend his name, and in doing so will ensure our salvation. May I pray for you. Father, we come before you this day thanking you that we have that power now to pray for the strength and encouragement we need each day to overcome the evil both without and within. Father, we pray for that power now. We pray that you will not desert us, We pray that you will hold true to the promise that you had given us, that you will not lose your sheep, that you are the good shepherd, that you hear our voices, and that we hear yours. We are important to you. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are loved by you. So, Father, we claim those promises that you have made to stand with us in battle, to keep us strong against evil. And we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.